Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to talk about the subject of inspiration. You know, and the question is, what is inspiration? And the answer to that question is simply this. Listen very carefully. Inspiration is God telling you what the Scriptures say so that you can understand them. Listen again. Inspiration is God telling you what the Scriptures say so that you can understand them. You see, many scholars and preachers have defined inspiration as God telling the authors what to write back when the original books and back when the original letters were written. They'll say, "We believe that God inspired the originals." I'm sure you've heard that. Or they'll say, "We believe that God inspired the original authors." And I'm sure you've heard them say that. I've seen that in statements of faith. I've heard that in professions. You know what? One thing they won't say is, "We believe that God inspired the translators of a particular translation." And so they'll say, "We believe that God could tell an original author what to write, but we don't believe that God could tell a translator how to translate what he wrote." So this whole concept or this usage of the word inspiration really breaks down when it comes to Bible translation and Bible authorship. You see, I'm talking about scholars, I'm talking about preachers, define inspiration as pertaining to the authorship of the originals. But the problem with limiting inspiration to the what are called autographs, those are the original writings, the problem with limiting inspiration to the autographs is that we don't have the originals today. They are not, this is the word that scholars use, they are not extant, or, as we would say, existent. They don't exist. They're not here today. So what's happened is that many preachers and scholars who believe that the originals were, as they say, inspired, don't believe that we have the words of God in any translation today. Now, let me say that again, because this is where the real problem is. Many preachers and scholars who believe that the originals were inspired, that is, that God told those authors what to write, don't believe that we have the words of God in any translation today. And the reason is they don't believe God's words are in writing today. And because of that, they often talk you out of your faith in the words that you have in your Bible today. I mean, what good is it? I mean, think about it. What good is it to you and me today if God told Isaiah what to write, but we don't have what Isaiah wrote? What good is that going to do you and me? And if we did have it and it's in Hebrew, what good is it going to do you and me if we can't read it? You see the problem? And that's the problem with defining inspiration the way that it's been defined. By their definition, you are left to trust them. You're left to trust other scholars. You're left to trust a conglomeration of modern translations to understand what God originally said or meant to say, since the originals do not exist today and since, per these scholars, no translation is God's words. And that's a problem because you don't know who to trust. I don't often go to the Christian bookstore, but the few times that I have been there and I've been around the Bible section, I see people there looking at all those Bibles trying to figure out which one to buy. And they'll often ask a clerk, or they'll often ask a sales representative, come over and talk with them and help them make a decision about which one to read. And I'm telling you, it has nothing to do with getting hold of God's words. It's all about the cover. It's all about this one is easier to read this way or that way. And you know what it is? It's confusing. That's what it is. So you get the translation, and then somebody else tells you, well, the one I use is this one, and it's better than that. And the next thing you know, you got a half a dozen different translations, and you don't have time to read one, much less all six. And you know what you end up doing? You go to the internet, or you get a commentary, or you go ask a friend, and most people just give up. Well, let me help you. In truth, inspiration is not God telling men what to write. Let me say it again. Inspiration is not God telling Isaiah what to write. It's not telling Moses what to write. It was not God telling Jeremiah what to write. That's not inspiration. You cannot find one time in the Bible where God telling the authors what to write is called inspiration. And that's because the word inspiration is not about dictation. It's not about authorship or anything like that. Listen, the word inspiration is about understanding. That's what the word is about. The word inspiration is used twice in your Bible, and we're going to certainly see those today. But listen, in Job 32:8, the Bible says, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Inspiration is about understanding. Now listen, we can find many examples in the Bible of God telling men what to write. And I believe, and we believe, that men certainly did write God's words. I believe that with all my heart. There's no doubt about it. For example, he said to the following men, these men that we're going to talk about, watch what he says. He says, write. Moses in Exodus chapter 34, verse 27. Exodus chapter 34, verse 27. The Lord definitely told Moses what to write. He says, the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. Do you think God told Moses, I want you to write these words? He did. And you see it right here in Exodus 34:27. But that's not inspiration. That's God telling Moses to write the words that God gave him. It's dictation. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 19. Deuteronomy 31:19. Here's God again. Now therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. And then he writes the song, just the way God told him to write it. In verse 22, same chapter, Moses therefore wrote this song the same day, and taught it the children of Israel. You know what he wrote? Exactly what God told him to write. That's not inspiration. That's dictation. Look at Isaiah chapter 30. I'm just giving you some examples. I believe with all my heart what was penned in the originals, what hit the paper, is exactly what God wanted the men to write. And they wrote it. Isaiah chapter 30. Look at verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever. What did the Lord say? Write it before them in a table, and note it in a book. And you know what Isaiah did? He wrote it. Jeremiah chapter 30. Just giving you some examples, over and over, how God told men what to write, and they wrote it. Jeremiah chapter 30, look at verse 2. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. Well, there you go. God tells him, watch it, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. I mean, you can't get it clearer than that. That is exactly what the men did. God said, I want you to write these words down, and they wrote those words down. It's dictation. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. Habakkuk 2:2. Look at it again. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. What did he do? He wrote the vision. It's just what God told him to do. So on and on you see this. There was a place in Revelation where John hears the voice of the thunders and he gets ready to write, and the Lord said, don't write. Don't write. So the question, you know, pertaining to inspiration is not a question concerning authorship. The question of authorship has already been settled by God. We have God's words. And I can give you, you know, numerous references to that. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, in verse 3, and I know I'm being painstakingly careful with this, but we have to be. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, the Bible says, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, nor did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that, watch it, man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Where did the words come from? Out of the mouth of the Lord. How does he live by those words? He reads them in a book. They're written. Jesus Christ quoted this verse of Scripture to the devil in Matthew chapter 4:4. You know, over 1,000 years later, 1,400 years later, he quotes that verse of Scripture to the devil. And you know what it is? It's the Word of God. In John chapter 14, in John chapter 14, and verse 23, what do we read? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, watch it, he will keep my words. If we don't have his words, how can we keep it? If we don't have his words, how can we live by them? We have to have his words. And I believe we have his words. I believe you're hearing God's words right now whenever I quote Scripture. John chapter 12, verse 48. John chapter 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Well, that was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ nearly 2,000 years ago. If we don't have those words in writing, how can we be judged by the words that he spoke? Well, the answer is, we do have them in writing. And I just read them to you. We say, how in the world is the Lord able to accomplish that? He's God. How did he make the universe? How did he make you? How did he come up with language? How did he come up with writing? He's God. That's what he does. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, W-O-R-D-S, shall not pass away. Somebody says, well, we don't have the original autographs. I don't care. We have his words. And you know why I don't care? Because God didn't care. If God cared, you would have the two stones upon which the Ten Commandments were written. If God cared, you would have Isaiah's original autographs. But God didn't care, obviously, to keep those words in writing the way they were written down by Isaiah on that piece of paper. He says, you got my words, because I told you my words will not pass away. And I believe that. You say, well, how then does God accomplish that task of getting the words on paper for us today? It's called preservation. He does it by preservation. And we're not talking about preservation today. We'll talk about that in another broadcast. Today we're talking about inspiration, but let me give you a verse, Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Now in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says this, the words of the Lord are pure words. Whose words are they? The words of the Lord. And what are they? They are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Well, in the purifying process of silver, that silver's consistency changes during that seven times of purification. And likewise, what has happened is that God has taken these writings that were originally in Hebrew or Syriac and Greek and has translated those into words that are universally understood today. And for us, English-speaking people, I got mine right here on the table where I'm preaching, recorded for you in this King James Bible. You are hearing God's words. So I certainly believe that Isaiah wrote those down, and I certainly believe that when they were translated and put in this book that we're talking about today, you are hearing God's words whenever we quote Scripture. So, listen, the question then of inspiration, and that's what our topic is today. The question of inspiration is a question, listen, regarding understanding, profitability, and interpretation of Scripture. That's what inspiration is. It is a question regarding understanding, profitability, and the interpretation of Scripture. It's not about authorship or dictation. Let's see exactly what the Bible has to say about inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16. Here it is. I've already quoted Job 32:8. We'll quote it again. But in 2 Timothy 3:16, we find the other place where the word inspiration appears in your Bible. These are the only two places that you're going to find that word. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Then verse 17 goes on to say that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This verse does not say all Scripture was given. If it said all Scripture was given by inspiration of God, you might be inclined to think that God told, past tense, Isaiah what to write. But it doesn't say that. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, meaning that inspiration is something that happens in the present tense. All Scripture is given. You know why? That's because the Holy Spirit's work of inspiration is to give you the Scripture so that it will be profitable for the four things God uses to perfect and furnish you. And those four things are doctrine. That's what the Bible says. It's what the Bible teaches. It's not how man, you know, presupposes what God says and then goes to the Bible to prove what he wants the Bible to say. No, it's simply teaching what the Bible says. That's doctrine. Reproof, that's that chastisement, that's that not correction, but it's that point where God is bawling you out for something you did wrong. Correction is to take you and turn you around and get you going in the right direction, and instruction is righteousness. In righteousness, to show you how to live, how to live by the righteousness of this book. And you and I are able to do that because of inspiration, because God is able to show us exactly what he's saying with the right doctrine, with the right reproof, with the right correction, with the right instruction, so that we can live. You see, it doesn't make any difference whether or not, I mean, to us today, it doesn't really make any difference whether or not we have what God told Isaiah in Hebrew. Wouldn't be profitable to us at all. We'd have to be trusting some scholar to tell us that what he's saying, it said, is right. So God gave us something that's profitable to us, his words in our language, and then he gives us the Holy Spirit so we can understand by inspiration what we're reading. Job 32:8 says, "There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding." You see it? Job 32:8 and 2 Timothy 3:16, the only two places in the Bible where that word inspiration shows up. Inspiration is a current work where the Scripture is given to us and is profitable. And inspiration in Job 32:8 helps us to understand that it is the Almighty, it is God that is giving us understanding in the things that we write or read. You see, inspiration is about understanding, not authorship. Inspiration is the Holy Spirit giving you the proper understanding of the Scriptures. Well, therefore, an unsaved man can't understand the Scriptures because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit, and the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So you've got unsaved men coming to a Bible to prove their doctrines that they have in many denominations. They're not getting anything from the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God is not giving them what they have by inspiration. Even saved men will misunderstand the Scriptures when they don't rely upon the inspiration of the Almighty. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 shows us that the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us the Bible. God hath revealed them, 1 Corinthians 2:10, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The teacher, the one who gives you understanding, is the Spirit of God. Well, therefore, not everyone who goes to the Scripture for doctrine comes away with the correct doctrine. I mean, how many people do you know that have wrested the Scripture by private interpretation and are now literally on their way to hell? They used the Bible to prove their doctrine, but they came up with a heresy. I'm telling you, that's Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, they know the Bible the way they understand it better than a lot of Christians do, but they are so messed up in their doctrine. Why? Spirit of God didn't teach them anything. They didn't receive what they received by inspiration. They received it from the watchtower. They received it from an elder. They received it from a teacher who was teaching false doctrine. I have books in my library full of these heresies. And I'm just pointing out Jehovah's Witnesses because you're probably familiar with them, probably knocked on your door. But man, I mean, I've got... You just name the denomination or the cult, and I've got books full of this stuff. And you know what that is? They all quote the Bible to prove their false doctrines. They have no understanding of the truth. Why? Because the Holy Spirit didn't give them the Scripture by inspiration. All heretics can point to the Bible to prove that they are right, but they have simply violated the Scripture by private interpretation. You see, whenever I've talked to people before and they don't want to believe what I'm showing them, you know what they'll say? Well, that's just your interpretation. You know why they say that? They say that, first of all, because they don't believe what they've just heard, but secondly, because they're used to hearing private interpretation from a variety of people. Listen, when you give somebody something or you receive something from the Spirit of God by inspiration, that is no longer private interpretation. That's God's Word. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says in 20 and 21 of 2 Peter chapter 1, listen very carefully, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is the one that's getting them to speak. And then when you and I come for understanding, it's the Holy One, the Holy Spirit, that is giving us the Scripture by interpretation, by inspiration, so that we don't come up with private interpretation. And when a man rejects the inspiration of God, he is out there in the sea without an anchor and without direction. He's tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Now listen, remember this. The Holy Spirit, according to John 16:13, came to, quote, guide you into all truth. That's what he came to do, John 16:13. And in John 14:26, he came to teach you all things and bring all things to you. to your remembrance. You know how he does that? He does that by the work of inspiration. Therefore, when a preacher or a teacher or a friend tells you that you need a modern Bible or a modern scholar or a better translation or one of their trained teachers or their commentaries to help you understand God's words, don't pay any attention to them. A well-written commentary by a man who has received what he received from the Word of God by inspiration can be helpful to you, but how are you going to judge that? You could only judge it by the words of God, which means you're still going to have to read everything that he wrote and study everything that he wrote. You can't, there's no short course to understanding. So what you say, what's the conclusion of this whole matter? It's very simple. You need Scripture. If all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, you need Scripture. You know where you find it? You find it in the King James Bible. That's where you find it. And then you need the Holy Spirit. Because the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. People say, well, I can't understand that. You haven't tried. You haven't even read the whole thing, praying to God every time that you read it, that he would teach you what it says. So prayerfully consider what you are reading in the Bible. Trust the Holy Spirit. He wrote it. Trust the Holy Spirit to guide you. Trust the Holy Spirit to teach you. And listen, no shortcuts. Read all the Scripture. You say, from Genesis to Revelation? Yeah. And then read it again and again and again. Read it all. Study the passages by comparing them with each other. Take your time and learn as the Lord teaches you. Listen, approach the Scripture with a humble mind and a believing heart. And listen, beware of any man who would try to talk you into believing something that the Bible doesn't say, or would talk you out of believing what God did say by trusting what they said. You've got to watch out for that. I found that most people that don't want to wait around for the Holy Spirit to give them what he wrote, but I'm going to tell you something. He will reward you well if you do, and may God bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.